which you should have. In Nigeria, we are looking for Bibles. Here in America, you are surplus of Bibles. If you can supply with Bibles, we'll appreciate that, because thousands of people are giving their lives to Christ and there is no Bible. Recently, before I came here, I'll be going by the street and people will stand by the road. We heard that you are giving Bible. I want a Bible. Women begging for Bibles. And here you are surplus of Bibles, and if you don't even have that, you have some in the pew. I have some time ago, I see Bible in the pew. So if you are lazy to take Bible from home to church, your laziness ends here, because you can find Bible in the church. This is America. God has done so much for you. So much for you. And Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. So 1 Peter chapter 4 is one of my favorite passages on persecution. So if you are there, 1 Peter chapter 4, just to give you the background, Peter wrote this letter to those who were being persecuted because of their faith in Christ. They were suffering persecution. They were suffering because of the sake of the gospel. So Peter now was moved to write to them to tell them, well, since you are suffering for the gospel, also make sure you live your holy life, you know, and make them to live right. And Christ is going to, he's confirmed. Christ is coming, but not now. And I can't give you a date. But one thing I know, biblically speaking, is that Jesus is going to come one day. And he's coming soon. Sooner than what I think. Sooner than what you think. I can give you a date. But Jesus is coming. So let's look at our text. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. That's what Peter said. What does that mean? That means we are progressing towards when Christ is going to come. So you guys, you are going through this suffering. You are being persecuted. You are being killed. But don't worry. The end is about to come. We will soon clear Mark there, by people. Take it easy. Jesus is coming. So even though Muslims want to kill me and they beat me up and they try to, they monitor my movement, he said, just take it easy. Jesus is coming one day. Amen. The end of all things is at hand, people. That's what Peter said. I didn't say it. Peter said it. And Peter was with Jesus in person. Amen. Me, I'm with him by faith. Yeah. And the Bible says, blessed are those who have not seen but yet believe. I've not seen Jesus, but I believe Jesus is real. Because he changed my life. He changed my life. And he is changing lives. Amen. My younger brother was trying to prove naughty, and then Jesus hit him. Today he is an elder, he is a deacon in a Baptist church. Amen. That's what Jesus can do. And so anywhere I go, I'm not ashamed to preach the gospel. If I go to England, I preach the gospel. If I go to Zambia, I preach the gospel. There's a place called Rwanda. Have you ever heard about Rwanda? Where two tribes kill each other massively. In Africa, Rwanda, you can Google that, they killed the Hutus and the Tutsis were massacring each other some years ago. If you go to the archives, you see how they put in the bones of the people that have been killed. Like, don't go there. For the sake of the gospel, I enter Rwanda, and before you know, I spent 1 month in Rwanda, and people were giving their lives to Christ. Amen. We have work to do, people. So if the end is about to come, then we can't do this armchair Christianity. Yeah. No. The time is passing away. Yes. The world is shaking. Mm-hmm. Hello? Yeah, I'm a Baptist. I can say amen to Jesus. You know what I mean? You can say amen as a Baptist. Loosen up, people. Loosen up. So the end of all things is at hand. I didn't say it. Christ is coming. I don't have the date, but I know that he is coming. Now, if he is coming, should we just begin to linger around and take it easy and be so casual? Today is it a Super Bowl? Before the Super Bowl, I just saw them playing the ball. That is the Ohio State, and when they play Michigan, it's a big deal. You know what I mean? At a football stadium, before the ball starts, you see these guys, they have drum, and they have is it trumpet? And you will think that they are going for war, for football. They are serious. Yeah. One day, we were watching TV with my wife, and then it's football. And then they get boom, 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 boom. And they dress like an army. And they were coming. They were massive. I said, boy, is this war or is this football? This is something that is of the world. I'm not against football. Football is good. But it is mundane. It is earthly. When it comes to the things of God, some will be dragging their feet. America, you are great because of Jesus. I know some of your history. I don't know much. But as small as I know, I can tell you, without Jesus Christ, without God, America will not be great. You didn't become great by yourself. You become great because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I can say that. When I was in elementary school, a man by the name Billy Graham, we used to elementary school in Africa in the jungle, but we were hearing Billy Graham on radio. Billy Graham. Whatever you think of him, the guy was a preacher. He came to Nigeria, and I think thousands of people gave their lives to Christ. So, Peter says, yes, you are going through suffering. Yes, Manasseh, you are going through suffering. Yes, they beat you up, you know. But you know what? They can kill the body, but they can't kill the soul. Amen. My soul is saved and secured. Amen. I believe in I believe in eternal security. Amen. I know that Jesus cannot save me and abandon me. Amen. I am saved. I am secured. I am blessed, and I'm on the move. Amen. But should I just say, just like a Dexter? Hello, I'm going to heaven now. So while I'm here, I just take it easy. No. It is time to be hot. You want your tea hot or lukewarm? I go to see the machine. You know, America, they have machine. And when they do the machine will bring out the coffee and all that. I never see somebody doing lukewarm coffee. Hot or cold? So why should it be lukewarm for the things of God? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 21, it says to God be glory in the church. In the church. God receives glory when believers, when people come together to worship God, God's name is glorified. I mean, this passivity, this like a lethargy, is the time is going. The Muslims are serious. That's one thing I like with the Muslims. Men, they are serious about their agenda. There was a time in Nigeria, they say what? They said the Americans want to leave when they blow up the Twin Tower in New York. They said the Americans want to leave. He said, we were ready to die. The Americans want to leave. We were ready to die. Because they know their cause, and their cause is evil, but they are so committed, they are overcommitted. If I play a video for you here, there's a video they sent to me about a Nigerian Muslim. He is calling on Muslims the whole world. Give me money, support me, I'll go to Nigeria and finish with those Christians. That's how serious they are. And we were saved, we are sure we're going to go to heaven, and we have the hymn book, and we have the Bible, and then when they say, you see, sing, showers of blessing, showers of blessing. Come on, people. And you go to football, another football. It's time to drop that and be excited about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And if we mean business, God will hand over the world to us. Literally. We have the agenda, we have the key to be able to tune the world. And say, this is the way, walk in it. Mm-hmm. If they don't go fast, we kill them so they can go to hell fast. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can go. Nobody, none of our members has been killed in Nigeria. None. Because I will pray, we'll come to that. In fact, it's right there. Look at that verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. So point number one, because things Jesus is coming, we are waiting for him, we should pray. And when I say prayer, I'm not talking about this 5 minutes prayer. Lord, thank you for the breakfast. Bye-bye. No! This one is more serious. Amen. When you are being killed and people are being fried and bombs are entering, they drop bombs in churches in Nigeria. Bombs. They will have guns outside, then they drop the bomb. If you come outside, they kill you. If you stay inside, you'll be roasted. So when you are in that kind of condition, is it 5 minutes prayer? Lord, save me now. Lord, save me. There was a time in the midst of this, I was so sick. I was so sick, I thought I was going to die. So I came to my wife and said, honey, I'm so sick. And I said, I don't know if I'm going to live, you know, any longer in the midst of this, I'm so sick. And then she put her hand on me like this. Lord, my husband is sick. I say, I'm still going to die. This prayer. Somebody is sick. Put your hand and shake the person. He said, Lord, my husband is sick. You are going to be a widow. This prayer is too soft. When you are in trouble, pray prayer from your heart. Kneel down before God. God is not your mate. Is God our mate? He is the maker of heaven and earth. He is the Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is Yahweh by himself. We trigger as if God is my wife. Lord, my husband is sick. I say, shake me up. Shake me up with prayer. That's the kind of prayer that Peter is talking about. In the midst of this persecution, you are about to die. Peter says, buckle up. Let me use American words. Peter said, buckle up so they can pray. They took me to California some years ago, and they took us to four of us from Nigeria, and they took us to Disney something. Is it Disneyland? They took us, and then there was something like a train, but not a train. We sat down, they said, okay, put on your belt. I said, this thing looks like training. Put on belt. They said, put on your belt. I'm glad I put on my belt. They said, boy, like, buckle up. I said, buckle up. We are standing here. I said, that thing, they were going to tune that thing. That thing was going to run. And then we start, and then they go like that, and then like this. And then I said, I'm glad I have buckle up. Why am I saying buckle up so they can pray? Amen. Because something's going to happen. Look at verse 8. You buckle up to pray, verse 8. And above all things, have fervent charity or love among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sin. That word charity is love. And that love is not this sissy love. It's what you call agape love. Yes. That means my brother and I may not agree on everything, but I must love him, and he must love me because of agape love. I love you in spite of. Yes. I see people in church in Nigeria. Small thing. They are fighting each other. I say, I don't have time to fight with my Christian brother and sister. I have work before me. Yes. Settle your case. We move. Or if it's so deep, I can come and settle you. But I don't have time to fight my brother and sister. I told them, if you want to fight, go to Boko Haram. There's free fight there. People come to church and something small, they have, is it chips on their shoulder? You got chips on their shoulder. And then they run from church because of teeny bitty. Small things. Peter is saying, we are in the midst of persecution. Let us love each other genuinely, because genuine love covers the multitude of sin. I'm not saying we should condone sin. No. My brother, what you have done here is wrong and is not scriptural. So do something about it. He's not covering up. If he refuses, move. Don't let him drag you back. I told him, nobody going to drag me back. I am going and I'm going. He said, be fervent so that you can love. So buckle up number two is love. Buckle up number three, put on your belt. Verse 9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Yes. Like, I've never known Pastor Grant before, but my dear brother, that his father was my academic dean at Lexington Baptist College some years ago, Brother Jim Jeffries. He will say, the main thing is to keep the main thing. So I took that to Nigeria. The main thing is to keep the main thing. So let's preach the gospel. That was what his father used to say. Now through him, he graciously invited me, and they granted me hospitality and hosted me. And then now brought me to radical American preacher. I listened to your tape yesterday in his car. I said, this guy, I am a wild Nigerian preacher. Pastor Grant is a wild American preacher. So tomorrow, what are you going to do tomorrow? Because he's in the middle. You know what I mean there? Love that covers the multitude of sin. Please, I'm begging in the name of Jesus. If you have chips on your shoulder, you have something against somebody, resolve that as soon as possible. Amen. So we can move forward. I was challenging some Americans. I say, do you know what? America alone, just American Christians alone, if they mean business, they can reach the whole world with the gospel.
Amen.
Just American Christians alone. Not even we radical Nigerians inside. If American Christians say we make up our mind, we love the Lord, we love each other, we are going to reach the world with the gospel, they can reach the whole world with the gospel.
Amen.
Because I know one thing about Americans that I learned. One thing that I learned from about Americans and from Americans is that if an American person says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. And the only person that can stop him is God. That I know. And I think I tell them back in Nigeria, if Americans say this is where they put their head, this is where they are going, nobody can stop them, only God. Because you are competitive, you have heart. But when it comes to Christianity, what are we doing? What are we doing? Kind of half and half. Let me illustrate just one thing, just profit, not politics now. Look at Trump. Trump says, Iran, watch out. And let me tell you, the Muslims in my country, when they heard that Trump became president, they pulled back from persecution.
Yeah.
Just like that. Just hearing that Trump became the president, when they announced that Trump has become president, they pulled themselves away from killing us. Because even the Muslims know that when an American is serious, an American is serious.
Yeah.
But now, America is playing games in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
It's pained my heart that day I fell from my bed. I just fell down on my knees and I had a burden to pray for America. You want to destroy yourself by yourself?
Yeah.
That's what you want to do. In Washington, D.C., is that what you are sent there to do?
Come on, that's good.
Is that what you are sent there to do, people? No. The greatest enemy is the one that's within.
Yeah.
Whining and complaining is an enemy.
Yeah.
Go to your Bible. God destroyed the complainers in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
Stop complaining and let us put our mind and say, well, even if they are doing that in Washington, D.C., we, the church people, we, the people, say, well, we are going to reach the world for Christ and there is no stopping us.
Amen.
And let me tell you, we have already decided. Let me calm down. Okay, we already taken a decision in Nigeria that whether America does it or they don't do it, we are going to make sure that we are going to storm Africa with the gospel and we're going to move to other nations of the world. We have resolved. If the Muslims kill us, more will be risen. Do you know what is happening in my country now? The more they are killing Christians, the more the Muslims are becoming Christians.
Yeah.
That's what persecution does for you. That's why Peter was saying, hey, calm down. It won't be long. This thing will be over. So love each other genuinely. Pray. Then buckle up and do hospitality. My dear brother, whether you preach or you don't preach, by hosting us and by connecting us, you are serving the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I will show you in the Bible, there's a gift of service. All right, buckle up, pray. Buckle up, love. Buckle up, and practice hospitality. Okay? So that I don't take much of your time. In Nigeria we can preach for 2 hours, but I'm not going to do that here. Take it easy. Okay. Verse 10. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. As good stewards of the manifold of grace. If any man speaks, let him speak as the oracle of God. What does that mean? That means if you say you are a preacher, hello? If anyone says he's a preacher, let him speak as God is speaking directly to the people. That's my understanding. If anyone speaks, let him speak as of the oracles of God. You cannot say you are a preacher and then you are ringing bell. Money. You preach the gospel, money will come.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that. Right. When people get saved, even their pocket will get saved.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't go about begging money. No, I preach the gospel. God, yeah, I preach the gospel. If you don't take care of me, you call me. Because I was not a liability. I was working with the Nigerian government when God called me. And he said, resign. 1972, 74. So I resigned October 1974, I believe, and then came in full time. Who called me full time is God. So if I get the opportunity to preach, I preach, thus says the Lord.
Amen.
Giving the whole counsel of God. I was preaching this morning, I told them, I say what? To God be glory in the church. God receives glory in the church. So I believe in local church. I believe in church multiplication, not planting.
Yes.
No, I passed the level of church planting, church multiplication. And the Muslims cannot stop that.
Amen. Right.
Because God said, go underground and plant churches at home. So none of our members is killed. They go and destroy the building, but the people are not there.
Mm-hmm.
Not us. So we're underground. Now time has come that now we want to build a building. We want to build a Bible college so we can train more preachers for the gospel. How are we going to stop that?
Yeah.
How are we going to stop that? They can't stop it. They are training me, they are following me. No. Those boys that I have trained, Jerry and Sambok and Elijah, they are there on the ground and they are busy training people. It's like locusts. You cannot stop it.
Yeah.
You cannot stop it. So, my dear brothers, you that God has called to preach, what I heard yesterday on the video, keep preaching the word. Keep preaching the word. And God will bless you for it. And as he preaches the word, take care of him. That's your responsibility. That's your responsibility. Because he that preaches the gospel should live by the gospel. Okay, so buckle up to preach the gospel. Buckle up. Me, I've already buckled up. Three belts. I am so tired. I'm tiny, I'm small, but I'm vibrant in the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I'll preach the word. Nobody can stop it. The president of Nigeria, who is a Muslim, was sick. And then one Muslim lady said, "What? I believe in your prayer, and I'm inviting you to come and pray for the president who is sick." It's a Muslim lady. I said, "Is that a game?" She said, "No, I've already written a letter of invitation. I was going to invite him. I have a vehicle to come and pick you up in the car, so you come." I said, "I'm going to go." I came back and said, "Lord, let me clear with you, Lord. Should I go? Should I not go? Because you know I don't like the time." He said, "This time, go." So I summoned the courage by the power of the Holy Spirit. The boy came and he drove me to the place. When I came, the hall, the Muslims were more. I mean, the hall was bigger than this. The Muslims were there, jam-packed. They had their turban, they had their, it's a hijab, you know, all that. So I walked in, they took me there, sat down there. Like, what is your name? They took me there, sat down there. They have their Muslim malams, you know, a sheikh there and all that. So they took my name. So I heard the Holy Spirit said, when you stand up to pray, when they call you to pray, tell them you are going to pray only in the name of Jesus. So they called me and said, Manasseh is going to pray for us, so I came. I said, we are going to pray, but this prayer I'm going to pray is going to be only in the name of Jesus. It was like a thunder and lightning from the sky. I was shocked and they were more shocked. They looked at me, that this prayer will be only in the name of Jesus. They removed their stuff from their head. And I said, we are going to pray two prayer requests. One, we are going to pray for the soul of the president, that God will have mercy on his soul because he needs to be saved. Then number two, we'll pray for God's miracle over his body, because right now the doctors have nothing they can do. Only God can help his situation. Do you know what? They say amen. They agree to that. We finished that prayer. They were giving me telephone numbers. They have come to me. When your way pleases the Lord, even the enemy will bow.
Yeah.
But so now we are preaching ourselves. We are preaching our know-how. No, if you lift up Jesus, Jesus will draw men unto himself.
Amen.
Some of you, you can open your mouth for Jesus. In your office. Just in your office. You see, the Lord has blessed you so much. You know, you don't want to talk about Jesus. God blessing me. They talk about it. Yeah, Jesus did it. Jesus did it. The Bible says, if you are ashamed of Jesus, he too will be ashamed of you. Talk about Jesus. Okay. Now to round up. Verse, is it 12? Where am I now? Verse 12 or 11? Okay, I've read 11. If any man minister, part of verse 11, if anyone minister, let him do it as of the ability which God gives. That means those who have the gift of, you know, to serve. Okay? Then he says, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Why do we do what we do? All these things we are doing so that the name of the Lord will be glorified. There should be no self-exaltation. If God uses me and thousands come to know Christ,
to Him be the glory.
Amen. One of my favorite songs in the Baptist hymnal is, "To God be the glory, great things He has done." There is no doubt that God is using me, but not me alone. The greater way God is using is to impact on other people. That's why I wish I would have shown part of that video. You will see that if you want a black man to get something, put that thing in sports or put it in music. I'll give you a secret because I'm one of them. You want a black man to listen to you preach? Say, okay, we are going to have a music concert. Oh boy, you're going to see them there. The bad, the good, the ugly. Put the gospel inside. So the Lord gave us that wisdom. So at home I have somebody who is in charge of music discipleship. Under a tree. He knows how to do music. They will come there and sit under the tree and we study the Bible. But that guy is in charge of music discipleship. Then I grew up playing soccer. So the Lord said, I should have been playing soccer professionally. But the Lord said, full time. So along the way, the Lord said, now you can introduce soccer and put the gospel. Hundreds of Africans are receiving Jesus Christ through soccer academy. We have an academy, 7 to 5, 10 years old, 12 years old, 13 years, up to 20. If I show you a video of one of the boys that is playing, he can play anywhere internationally, and he is in the Christian Academy. The 13 years old and 14, many of them have given their lives to Christ, and their parents are so surprised that these boys are changing. Christ changes nations and individuals. As I close, if you forget anything I say, Jesus Christ can change your son that is so cantankerously backslidden. That child that is giving you a tough time, take him to the camp. Let him receive Jesus Christ. He will be changed. No man can change anybody. No man can. Here in America, okay, just take them to the psychologist and let the psychologist psychologize them. Some psychologists will even confuse the boy more. Some psychologists are a problem. Let me tell you something. Jesus is the psychology of the psychologist. Amen. I used to be cuckoo. I was cuckoo. When I gave my life to Jesus Christ, He changed my heart and He changed me inside out. Yes. There are some places in Nigeria when I go, I don't have to preach. I don't have to. When they see me, they say, "This is Manasseh." Yeah. Manasseh has changed. Even my dressing. I used to dress like a crazy guy. And there's a black American that used to come to Nigeria. He came to Nigeria and people even killed, stamped on people and killed people. His name is James Brown. James Brown was a musician. One short black American. If you want a black man to get anything, put it in music or in sports. He came to Nigeria and they filled that place. And he didn't know much English. He said, "I feel alright, baby. I feel alright. I feel alright." And thousands of Nigerians go there to listen to him and they kill each other. And I used to be in that camp. So I memorized his songs. So when I'll be dancing, I'll be rolling on the floor. "Hey, hey, I feel alright, baby. Hey." And many people know me about that. So when I gave my life to Christ, James Brown, out. Out. So people were shocked. If I go to my home state, just by walking and people see me, they know that Jesus has done something in my life. Amen. Maybe you have been in this church for years and practicing Christian religion, but you have not been changed. Christ can change you. Just humble yourself a little. Just a little. Just a little. Jesus will do something in your life that next time you will want to tell people about Jesus. We can all be preachers like my dear brothers here, but we can all talk about Jesus. Amen. We can be His witness. Thank you very much for listening to this wild Nigerian preacher.